The self you have betrayed is your mind. Self-esteem is reliance on one's power to think. The ego you seek, that essential you which you cannot express or define, is not your emotions or inarticulate dreams, but your intellect. That judge of your supreme tribunal whom you've impeached in order to drift at the mercy of any stray shyster you describe as your feeling. Then you drag yourself through a self-made night in a desperate quest for a nameless fire, moved by some fading vision of a dawn you had seen and lost. Observe the persistence in mankind's mythologies of the legend about a paradise that men had once possessed, the city of Atlantis or the Garden of Eden, or some kingdom of perfection, always behind us. The root of that legend exists not in the past of the race, but in the past of every man. You still retain a sense, not as firm as a memory, but diffused, like the pain of hopeless longing, that somewhere, in the starting years of your childhood, before you had learned to submit, to absorb the terror of unreason and to doubt the value of your mind, you had known a radiant state of existence. You had known the independence of a rational consciousness facing an open universe. That is the paradise which you have lost, which you seek, which is yours for the taking. Some of you will never know who is John Galt, but those of you who have known a single moment of love for existence and of pride in being its worthy lover, a moment of looking at this earth and letting your glance be its sanction, have known the state of being a man. And I'm the only man who knew that that state is not to be betrayed. I'm the man who knew what made it possible and who chose consistently to practice and to be what you had practiced and been in that one moment. That choice is yours to make. That choice, the dedication to one's highest potential, is made by accepting the fact that the noblest act you have ever performed is the act of your mind in the process of grasping that 2 and 2 make 4. Whoever you are, you who are alone with my words in this moment, with nothing but your honesty to help you understand, the choice is still open to be a human being, but the price is to start from scratch, to stand naked in the face of reality and reversing a costly historical error to declare, I am, therefore I'll think. Admit the irrevocable fact that your life depends upon your mind. Admit that the whole of your struggle, your doubts, your fakes, your evasions, was a desperate quest for escape from the responsibility of a volitional consciousness, a quest for automatic knowledge, for instinctive action, for intuitive certainty. And while you called it a longing for the state of an angel, what you were seeking was the state of an animal. Accept as your moral ideal the task of becoming a man. Do not say that you're afraid to trust your mind because you know so little. Are you safer in surrendering to mystics and discarding the little that you know? Live and act within the limit of your knowledge and keep expanding it to the limit of your life. Redeem your mind from the hockshops of authority. Accept the fact that you are not omniscient. But playing a zombie will not give you omniscience. That your mind is fallible. But becoming mindless will not make you infallible. That an error made on your own is safer than 10 truths accepted on faith. Because the first leaves you the means to correct it. But the second destroys your capacity to distinguish truth from error. In place of your dream of an omniscient automaton, accept the fact that any knowledge man acquires is acquired by his own will and effort, and that that is his distinction in the universe. That is his nature, his morality, his glory. Discard that unlimited license to evil which consists of claiming that man is imperfect. By what standard do you damn him when you claim it? Accept the fact that in the realm of morality, nothing less than perfection will do, but perfection is not to be gauged by mystic commandments to practice the impossible, and your moral stature is not to be gauged by matters not open to your choice. Man has a single basic choice, to think or not, and that is the gauge of his virtue. Moral perfection is an unbreached rationality, not the degree of your intelligence, but the full and relentless use of your mind, not the extent of your knowledge, but the acceptance of reason as an absolute. Learn to distinguish the difference between errors of knowledge and breaches of morality. An error of knowledge is not a moral flaw, provided you are willing to correct it. Only a mystic would judge human beings by the standard of an impossible, automatic omniscience. But a breach of morality is the conscious choice of an action you know to be evil, or a willful evasion of knowledge, a suspension of sight and of thought. That which you do not know is not a moral charge against you, but that which you refuse to know is an account of infamy growing in your soul. Make every allowance for errors of knowledge. Do not forgive or accept any breach of morality. Give the benefit of the doubt to those who seek to know, but treat as potential killers those specimens of insolent depravity who make demands upon you, announcing that they have and seek no reasons, proclaiming as a license that they just feel it. Or those who reject an irrefutable argument by saying, "It's only logic," which means, "It's only reality." The only realm opposed to reality is the realm and premise of death. Accept the fact that the achievement of your happiness is the only moral purpose of your life, and that happiness, not pain or mindless self-indulgence, is the proof of your moral integrity, since it is the proof and the result of your loyalty to the achievement of your values. Happiness was the responsibility you dreaded. It required the kind of rational discipline you did not value yourself enough to assume, and the anxious staleness of your days is the monument to your evasion of the knowledge that there is no moral substitute for happiness, that there is no more despicable coward than the man who deserted the battle for his joy, fearing to assert his right to existence, lacking the courage and the loyalty to life of a bird or a flower reaching for the sun. Discard the protective rags of that vice which you called a virtue, humility. Learn to value yourself, which means to fight for your happiness, and when you learn that pride is the sum of all virtues, you will learn to live like a man. As a basic step of self-esteem, learn to treat as the mark of a cannibal any man's demand for your help. To demand it is to claim that your life is his property, and loathsome as such claim might be, there's something still more loathsome. Your agreement. Do you ask if it's ever proper to help another man? No, if he claims it as his right or as a moral duty that you owe him. Yes, if such is your own desire, based on your own selfish pleasure in the value of his person and his struggle. Suffering as such is not a value. Only man's fight against suffering is. If you choose to help a man who suffers, do it only on the ground of his virtues, of his fight to recover, of his rational record, or of the fact that he suffers unjustly. Then your action is still a trade, and his virtue is the payment for your help. But to help a man who has no virtues, to help him on the ground of his suffering as such, to accept his faults, his need, as a claim, is to accept the mortgage of a zero on your values. A man who has no virtues is a hater of existence who acts on the premise of death. To help him is to sanction his evil and to support his career of destruction. Be it only a penny, you will not miss, or a kindly smile, he has not earned. A tribute to a zero is treason to life, and to all those who struggle to maintain it. It is of such pennies and smiles that the desolation of your world was made. Do not say that my morality is too hard for you to practice, and that you fear it as you fear the unknown. Whatever living moments you have known were lived by the values of my code, but you stifled, negated, betrayed it. You kept sacrificing your virtues to your vices, and the best among men to the worst. Look around you. What you have done to society, you had done it first within your soul. One is the image of the other. This dismal wreckage, which is now your world, is the physical form of the treason you committed to your values, to your friends, to your defenders, to your future, to your country, to yourself. We, whom you are now calling, but who will not answer any longer, we had lived among you, but you failed to know us. You refused to think and to see what we were. You failed to recognize the motor I invented, and it became in your world a pile of dead scrap. You failed to recognize the hero in your soul. And you failed to know me when I passed you in the street. When you cried in despair for the unattainable spirit which you felt had deserted your world, you gave it my name. But what you were calling was your own betrayed self-esteem. You will not recover one without the other.